Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
October has been designated Bullying Prevention Month by the National Bullying Prevention Center on the West Coast. They are one of the online resources for people about the phenomenon. There's another resource closer to home. The nonprofit organization Communities and Schools of Chicago has just put out a full brief on the subject for families and other stakeholders. This weekend, we're going to take a closer look. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Communities and Schools of Chicago should be no stranger to our audience. We've talked with people from that school support agency more than once. They're one of the organizations that provides mental health counselors and other supplementary staff to the Chicago public schools that need them. They work with 239 CPS schools, and CIS officials say they serve tens of thousands of students a year. Communities and Schools has now produced what it calls a bullying brief. It's an 18-page report about youth social media use, cyberbullying, and mental health. The brief provides perspectives from CPS administrators, community organizations, and CIS's own school-based team members about youth bullying. Well, I talked about bullying with Robin Kelsch, the CIS Chief Partnership Engagement Officer. She's a lead CIS official who brings the schools and partner services together. Robin has talked about bullying, mental health, and other things on our airwaves before. And we talked about, this time, why CIS decided to research bullying.
I think, you know, as an organization, we were looking at trend data and seeing where can we dig in further? What don't we understand? What can we learn about what our schools are saying they need? So year over year, unsurprisingly, we ask our schools to help us understand what are your top needs? What's rising to the top? Where do you need our support? And year over year, the most requested service type or support offered or asked for rather is anti-bullying. And it has been that way for a decade, with the exception of 1 year when social emotional learning took the number one spot. And then we've gotten basic needs is also like in the top three. But when you think about those three things, having basic needs met, having young people's social emotional learning being tended to, and making safe spaces where people feel like they belong, they go hand in hand, right? And so what we wanted to do was dig a little deeper. Okay, that's what our schools are saying. What does that mean, right? What does it mean? What does anti-bullying mean? What do they think it means? How does all this work together? So it prompted us to look more deeply at data that was available nationwide, things specific to us in Chicago, and really get the inside info from the folks on the ground. And we heard some really interesting pieces from them.
Yeah, and my next question was going to be, what does anti-bullying mean? Because it is such a broad topic, and I mean, I know you're gonna help me understand, but I'm not sure how you even get your hands around the problem to be able to affect it. So talk to me about what you are dealing with when you say anti-bullying.
Yeah, thank you, because I think that's a really important thing that we need to discern when we have this conversation. Young people have conflict, right? Peer conflict happens not just for young people, for all of us, right? In fact, to some degree, we expect that to be typical adolescent behavior and learning who you are and developing cognitively and emotionally. So there's that. But what bullying really is specific. It really has to be something that is, there's a power imbalance, right? So there is something that is saying, I have authority or some sort of power over you. It is ongoing. It's not a one and done. It's not here and there. It's ongoing. It's pervasive. And it is intentional, right? It is an intentional thing that is happening from either one person to another person, a group of people to a person, or a group of people to another group of people. So the keys there really are that it's this ongoing, pervasive thing that is happening with the intention of hurting somebody, where there is this power imbalance, right? So when we talk about peers, sometimes we need to look at that as peer mediation, peer conflict, and sometimes those things, certainly they're interrelated, and peer conflict can turn into a bullying situation. But as one of our people we interviewed for the brief talks about, that's one of the first things he looks to discern when he's brought with an issue or with students coming with this thing is, okay, what are we talking about here? Is this actual bullying, or is this more, we need to figure out how to better get along? Again, they go hand in hand, but they are two different things.
But there are so many, I guess the I don't know if the right word is forums for bullying, but in fact there are so many ways it can happen. I mean, it can be, person to person in a classroom. It can be things that are written. It can be social media. How do you does each have to be addressed differently?
That is a great question. And I think it gets to why this is complicated and multifaceted, is because it is happening in so many different arenas across so many different opportunities, to your point, right? Back in my day, middle school, there was bullying, right? This is not a new thing. We're not saying, oh, check this out, this is new. It's different now because, to your point, young people have different opportunities, right? When I was in middle school, you would get a mean note in your locker, maybe signed by other kids that were agreeing with the mean thing in your locker, right? Super hurtful, very terrible, dislike, right? This is ongoing, happening regularly, right? That's difficult. But I could also take that paper and show it to somebody and say, this is what's happening to me. This is what's going on, right? With so much of our social media work, and not work, but what's happening for our students there, and the work that we need to be doing is more awareness of what's going on in those platforms. In the briefs that we released at Communities and Schools, we talk about how there are so many opportunities for young people to create fake social media accounts, wherein it is nearly impossible to trace the origin of who is doing this. They can say whatever they want to say about anybody they want to say it about, and it catches fire. You know, a lie travels 8 times faster than the truth. Imagine being a young person and waking up to find out somebody told a lie about you on Instagram, and now you've gone viral for something that's not true about you, right? I wish that was a story that wasn't true, but it absolutely is. There are many different ways that young people are being impacted by this now, not the least of which is trying to understand their own identities as adolescents to figure out who they are. And sometimes that's the reason why they're being bullied, right? Because they are of a different identity. They belong to a different community, a different, you name it, right? What sets us apart can sometimes be the thing that people will latch onto, in a bullying situation.
But then when you're dealing with, even when you know it, when you see it, you also have to deal with how people react to it if they're the targets, and what schools can do to slow it, can catch it or stop it.
I think, the point to make there, really, in my opinion, is that school communities play such a major, important role in the life of a young person. Even just thinking about how many minutes and hours and days they're spending there, couple that with their family life, and I think what you were talking about is the importance of all of us, all caring adults, understanding what's going on, being surrounding a young person with that support, and singing from the same songbook, right? So, in the bullying brief, one of the counselors talks about how working with the students is, to her, the easier part. She knows how to manage student behavior. That this is old hat. But what the challenge becomes is, how do you work with the families? How do you be a welcoming space for the adults in that young person's life to interact with you? And what she's finding is that it's much more difficult in her school community and in others for parents and school staff and administrators to find common ground. I'm a parent. I have 2 kids, and one of my kids, I'm the one getting the calls. I'm getting the calls and the emails from the school, right? And so I will say, when you first get that call or that email and you show up to the school as a parent, there's a feeling a little bit of defensiveness. This is my child. This is my community. This is our family. Like, what do you really, how can you really get involved and say anything about that? But if we can change that a little bit and change the way that we view that and consider that when we have these entities working together, these family units, these family structures, and the school communities, that young person now has so much more opportunity to find a caring adult to talk to if, in fact, something is happening with that child.
But now, as in, you have experience as a parent, those of us who have kids probably all have experience on one side or the other, but how do you recognize that it's happening? I mean, I'm not sure, you know, boy, if you have the kind of relationship where your kid comes home and tells you about something bad happening, that's great, but I don't know that all do. And so how do you first recognize it? And then if you do recognize it, what's your next step?
Yeah, I think it's different depending on the role. Who are you to that child, right? As a parent, you know, to your point, I might not be the one that my kid is coming home telling that to, but I know his coach and I know his counselors and I know his teachers, and we have developed a relationship. So I have the trust to know that if something is being said, that it will get back to me one way or another. So one way to do that is to check in with your community, right? If you are suspicious of something or not, and you just want to get a baseline understanding of how your child or young person behaves in different settings, ask the questions, right? Get involved. I think that can be a really important piece of it. One of our staff people is always talking about how what we do at CIS with our student supports managers that are embedded in the schools is we're the folks that are, you know, getting in your business. We're asking the questions of, hey, I noticed you weren't at math class yesterday. What's going on with that, right? So that's what I mean by getting in your business. It's like asking the question, right? And as parents, we can ask the question maybe till we're blue in the face and not get a response from our young person about, so what's happening on TikTok these days, right? Like, I'm sure I'm not hip enough for anybody to share that with me. But then we have to figure out who else is our young person interacting with and how can we learn about what's going on in other areas. Again, building those relationships, building that sense of community outside of just your home and the school being these two separate entities, how can they start to merge to feel like they are all one blanketed umbrella for a young person? So that might be one way, but I would say, anybody that's working with young people, you notice when something is not baseline anymore. And Craig, I've used this example perhaps before, but I'll use it again. You and I have chatted before to my great pleasure. And if I showed up to this meeting together and I was super quiet and I wasn't wearing anything loud, you would notice that my baseline is off. That's not my typical baseline, right? Imagine if you have had interactions with me every day, right? And you know what that looks like. You, as a caring adult for a young person, whether you're a parent, a teacher, a coach, a friend, a community member, might notice that something is different. This young person's baseline is different. That might trigger you to say, I'm going to ask his mom about this, or I'm going to ask coach about this, or I'm going to dig in with the school community and find out what's going on there. And that is often a great place to start. If you suspect something, ask the questions. Go to the source, go to the school, go to the parents if you're a school staff person listening right now, but get it out in the open and start to figure out how to manage this. It will involve conversations, mediation, opportunity to learn, but if we can find a way to create a scenario wherein we put the problem on the other side of the table and we as adults and the young people on the other side and looking at the problem collectively, we can tackle it that way as opposed to putting ourselves on separate sides and saying, you did this and you did that. That's not going to help us solve problems. That's not going to help young people learn or restore anything from that process.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we're talking about bullying among mostly teenagers and what you can do about it. My guest is Robin Kelsch. She's the Chief Partnership Engagement Officer with the nonprofit organization Communities and Schools of Chicago. They are out with a brief on bullying. You can see it and read it online if you'd like. I'll give you the website. Here it is. www.cisofchicago.org/bullying-brief. Again, that's cisofchicago.org/bullying-brief. I'll give it to you one more time at the end of the program. But so now back to our discussion.
I know the intentions at all of the schools you deal with are good, but are the teachers and counselors at these schools really equipped with the knowledge and the techniques to effectively handle the problems?
Yeah, I think in all of the schools that I have visited and all of the counselors and teachers I've met, in some ways they are the most equipped because they are so aware of how the interactions are happening. They can see, they can know, right? Like, ooh, if you put Tina and Georgina together, this thing is going to happen, right? They have this intimate knowledge of things. So whether they're equipped to deal with it, I think it goes along with their own development. And many, if not all of the people that you just talked about, again, are the first line. They are the ones that are noticing it. They are the ones that are bringing it to the attention of others and getting other help in, right? So in some ways, they are the most equipped and they have a lot of knowledge and information. In other ways, we have to remind ourselves that counselors and teachers and parents, we are humans. We are human beings that have our own emotions and things that we're dealing with. And part of what made this bullying brief so timely was that there are so many of these external factors that are impacting us now, right? That are making this even worse, right? So not the least of which, a global pandemic, which created isolation for all of us, not the least of which, again, our young people who then turned to social media for that support and to look for where they can find that opportunity to have that sense of belonging again, right? And so now we've created a situation where the thing that we told you you have to look at that's really important now is a place of potential harm and potential danger. So we're asking a lot of young people in general, but when you compound it with what we now know, our Surgeon General said it's a youth mental health crisis. Putting labels on social media to let folks know that there is another side to this. I think that there's different ways for us to consider that. That the adults in our lives are also managing a lot and went through the pandemic also and maybe aren't perfect beings, but being a caring adult is something that we can all do, something we all have within us, and it's something that our students are asking for directly.
Indeed. But let me flip the coin on the other side, though, because we are actually dealing with two groups of young people here. As a parent or as a counselor or a teacher, what if your kid is the bully?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you recognize that and handle that? What if, you know, one of the kids in your class is among the bullies? What do you do?
Yeah. I think first and foremost, hurt people. If a young person is doing something to be a perpetrator of bullying, is creating these scenarios where there's harm being done, it can be easy to vilify somebody that's doing that, right? Our brains are wired to say right, wrong, good, bad, to put things right in that black and white kind of scenario. But part of the reason why this is a nut that we haven't cracked as a society is because it is multifaceted and complicated. And the person that is being the bully is going through something very serious to think that this is the right way. This is the pathway by which to manage my emotions. This is a way for me to feel like I have belonging. Or in some cases, this is the right thing to do. So I don't know that you handle it differently than if you are a student or a young person or a caring adult who notices that somebody is being bullied. I think we equally need to make sure that the young person or people that are the perpetrators of whatever is happening are getting the attention they need as well, because clearly something is not going well for that young person.
Yeah, and I know you deal with this aspect of it in your report, but social media in many ways, partly because of the anonymity, although sadly sometimes people don't care whether they're anonymous or not, but that has normalized in many ways bullying, excuse me, that in some ways it's almost a joke. It's part of the culture that people burn each other,
Oh,
or
yeah.
and how do you navigate that? And I know you cite the Surgeon General wanting a warning label on social media, which, you know, as somebody who has to use social media all the time, you know, my first thought is, oh, that's so cute.
Well, you know, when they started putting the parental advisory stuff on those albums, they sold like hotcakes, right? So let's
Exactly.
remember that. Yes, I
I was
hear you.
like,
I hear you.
thanks, folks. But
Yeah.
but seriously,
Yeah.
it's going to take more than a warning label.
You couldn't be more right. Certainly, there are multiple ways that this issue needs to be handled. What I think what you were talking about earlier in terms of it being sort of the air we breathe and the water we drink of just hurling an insult out there online, right? This idea of like, well, I'm at my house, I could just say this, whatever. It's much more easy than saying something to somebody's face, right? There's a sense of personability there that we don't get when we are behind our phones, or in some cases behind fake accounts. What I also thought was interesting in the bullying brief is that one of the counselors discusses how, which I will say, I think we see it in adults too, that if somebody insults you, that gives you the right and the freedom and perhaps even the responsibility to retaliate, to take them down to the ground, right? That they, whatever that was, right? We freeze people in sometimes their worst moment. We say, you said this thing, you did this thing, and now you're gonna pay for it. And that we see happening, I mean, right now in the adults in our lives, you might think to yourself, like, yep, I've had that moment myself. And so we have to do our parts here to model that behavior, as adults in navigating the situations that our young people are also navigating, and trying to be leaders and to be modeling that and caring and all of those things. It's a lot. I'm not suggesting it's not. Believe me, I know the struggle. The struggle is real, but we have got to do a better job modeling that in front of our young people and helping them understand the outcomes of that. That's a positive outcome when we are able to navigate conflict and issues without resulting in name calling, bullying behavior, physical behavior, right? We want to avoid all of those things. So it does start with us. It starts with us as adults in modeling that, and also in involving young people and part of the solution, specifically when you're talking about community, your family community, your school community. Nobody likes to be told, you're going to do this thing now. This is a new thing we're doing. Here's a new rule. If you involve the people that are impacted by what's happening, you're going to get a better solution. In fact, Do the Right Thing is a program that Communities and Schools of Chicago is super proud to sponsor. I bring it up because last year, when looking at the submissions, we track what the themes are. We ask our volunteer readers to help us understand what are the themes you're seeing in these writings that are about youth violence. And 87% of those writings had bullying or cyberbullying as a major theme to how young people in middle school are experiencing violence in their daily lives. So it is happening. It is pervasive. But what I will say on the other end of it, what can be hopeful, I like to have a cheery moment here. It's not all gloom and doom, is that when the young people are talking about the solutions, they're literally saying things like, let's work together, right? That's one of them. Let's become a positive role model. The young person saying that's their solution. I'll become a positive role model. Talk to a trusted adult and saying that they need more parent support and engagement in their school communities. These are doable things. This is not storming the castle and taking down the patriarchy. This is doable things where that we can do as any a person in the world, whether you have a child, you know somebody in school, you none of those things are true for you. Being a part of our communities means caring about this and means showing up for young people in a way that allows them to know that you are a trustworthy, caring person they can turn to.
Well, I think if you know, as you point out, this is not afflicting only teenagers. This is and young people. This is an adult problem too. In fact, I just happen to know this. And if you haven't heard of this, there is an Illinois Supreme Court commission on behavior within the court system. They literally just completed a study on bullying. I mean, think about that. We're talking about lawyers and judges, and they just did a study on bullying among them. So
Well,
this is
think
not.
about that group of people. They're probably really, they've got a lot of different avenues, not unlike a young person, right? Creative ways to cut through and really take somebody down. And that's, I think that's a really great point. We tend to look to the young people and say, well, back in my day, or you shouldn't do this thing. We are not our children, and our children are not us. It is not the same. And so we need to be better listeners and better models to help support our young people, and each other, right? And your peers. It can really make a big difference.
And I think we should also take a moment to point out that we're not just talking about kids being sad because of bullying. This is a serious problem, and I mean, and it's a life or death problem at times.
Absolutely, it can be, because when you're talking about bullying, oftentimes there is a physical component to it, or it can escalate to that. You're talking about psychological safety. You're talking about a young person feeling like who they are inherently by their identity, where they're from, the language they speak is bad. Losing that sense of belonging. We know that contributes greatly to a sense of safety. Young people need to know that they have spaces where they are safe and they belong. And in order for us to do that, we have to make that clear. It has to be explicit. We all have to be saying it and have to be making sure that every young person knows that door is open, and allow them to choose the doors that work best for them in terms of who they want to talk to about something. They should have multiple opportunities.
So, who should be reading your report?
Honestly, I got to tell you, any human on the planet, if you can breathe and you can read, I want you to read this, because I think what you will understand, first of all, it's formatted beautifully and it's gorgeous. Second of all, what I think is really helpful is that it doesn't just give you some graphs and say, here's some stats, or here's a timeline of how we got here. We're hearing directly from folks that are in the community serving the students, whether it be a community partner, delivering programming on peace education, on conflict resolution, on anti-bias work, or a counselor who's pushing into classrooms to help students understand identity. All of these things are represented in the brief, and really, I think, help paint the picture of why it is an all of us problem. It is not just a school problem. It is not just a young person problem. It is not just that family over there's problem. It involves all of us, and it's going to take all of us to make a difference and to see a change.
That was Robin Kelch, the Chief Partnership Engagement Officer with the nonprofit organization Communities and Schools of Chicago. They are out with a brief on bullying. Once again, here's the website for that material. That's www.cisofchicago.org/bullying-brief. And my thanks to Robin, who always has good and interesting information for us. Before we close out, I do want to observe a tragic but constructive anniversary. 10 years ago this weekend, 17-year-old Laquan McDonald was shot to death by now former Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke. He was holding a knife but was walking calmly away from police officers at the time when Van Dyke shot him 16 times. The outcry over that killing touched off not only demonstrations but police reforms and a second-degree murder conviction for Van Dyke. On Friday, Mayor Johnson was asked to reflect on all of that, and here's a part of what he said.
Unfortunately, we've had a trail of destruction over the course of decades where there's been an erosion of the relationship between communities and policing. What I can say is that has gotten considerably better from where we started, and even from the point of Laquan McDonald's death. In fact, I was just talking to a colleague about this. This was State Senator Lakeisha Collins. Her and I were actually on Michigan Avenue as we were protesting. I was there as an organizer. She was there as an organizer. And I actually introduced her to be one of our main speakers at that rally. And so we have people who are in power now who were part of protests that are now in power. So to your question, I mean, do we have a little ways to go? Of course, right? Am I satisfied? No.
And that's our program. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcast on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Oh, 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 all right. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.